Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two on Still a Sunny Day in Pittsburgh. Bob Pompeiani with you until 1 o'clock. That's when the North Shore Tavern Leadoff Show begins with Dan Zangrilli. Thanks to Joel Nelson, who's done for the day. Joel, always appreciate it. Nick Callis is now in the hot seat. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Our show is brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day, and brought to you also by number one Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Ride in style. Text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly, and Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township, or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. And a very engaging first hour. A lot of callers. We've got more coming up here. But again, just recapping some of the topics we had. The Penguins dominated with what kind of job is this? Is it an attractive job for any incoming GM, knowing that you have kind of a cash-strapped team here? You have already players signed to the tune of $64 or $5 million against the 2023-24 cap. That leaves you about $17 million to spend, and you have some notable unrestricted players like Tristan Jarry, who Mike Sullivan gave a very complimentary answer to today when he called him still a top-tier goalie and will be in the future. Jason Zucker, how much will that cost? Will he be willing to come back if it's not the money he wants? Brian Dumoulin has had an expiring contract. And the Penguins also have contracts they'd like to get rid of. Jeff Carter, 1 year left at $3.5 million. You got Mikael Granlund, 2 years at $5 million average annual value. And then Jeff Petrie, 2 more years at $6.25 million. You take away Crosby, he's the most expensive guy on the team. Didn't give you that sort of performance, and anyone who comes in here is going to have to make and tell the people in charge, hey, I got to use buyouts. You're going to have to cough up some money here. That's just the way it is. I got to create room, because this is an interesting situation. This is not a team that's rebuilding totally. They still have their top three guys. They still believe those top three guys, even though they aren't dominating to the point where they once were, they're still good enough to win playoff series if they have the right people around them. What do you do? Well, you got to first off create more space, and then you have to make key decisions on, Jarry, on Zucker, on Dumoulin, what to do with these other guys. And I say also start letting younger players play earlier in the season. I think they would have been better off if Drew O'Connor had played all year. I think they would have been better off after acquiring Alex Nylander to let him play more. Sam Poulin, other guys in their organization. That's what they need to do. There has to be an infusion of youth. So we talk about that. The other hot topic is the Pirates and what to do with Brian Reynolds. It continues to be a hot topic. And, if they can't come to an agreement, I wouldn't be surprised if they trade him again, which will continue the narrative about the Pirates. And they've dug this hole. They have to now get out of it from a perception point of view. Also, I put out a tweet about Phil Kessel, and I'm surprised how much negativity it's received. I just complimented him on 11 straight years of being an Ironman and continuing to be in the lineup every single day. Now, just like Cal Ripken, it's not the best for him to play every day when he's gassed and not productive. I get all that. And sometimes you don't want to be the coach that sits a guy and break his streak. However, I give him a lot of credit in that that's a sport that everything on that ice surface can hurt you. And even if he doesn't play a physical game, he's involved in some physical play just by being there. Give him some props. 11 years, pretty amazing streak for him. And I wanted to talk also about these first-round matchups and give you my take real quick. Boston, Florida, Gotta like the Bruins in this one. Florida, goaltending's been up and down. Alex Lyon has been the guy at the end. They've had issues there. Boston will win that series. Tampa Bay, Toronto is an interesting one from the Atlantic. I really think Toronto is going to put a push on this year, and we'll see what they do. Tampa Bay's a good team, experienced team, but I think Toronto will win that one. Carolina Islanders, it'll be tough on Carolina, but I suspect they will survive it. It may take seven games. Rangers, New Jersey Devils. That, to me, just like Toronto, Tampa, is one of the best matchups to watch. And I am going to think that I'm going to – I love New Jersey's youth. I like they added Timo Meier, but I don't think they're quite yet there. I think the Rangers are, and I think the Rangers will win that one in seven. Over in the West, Vegas against Winnipeg. I like Vegas. I like Bruce Cassidy, what he's done there. I think they'll survive. Oilers are my team to win the Stanley Cup this year. So I'm going to go Oilers versus Kings. Obviously, I'll pick them. Colorado, Seattle, take Colorado. They got in by first place by winning last night in Nashville, Dallas, Minnesota. I'll have NBA stuff coming up momentarily. In the meantime, let's go to JL in Gibsonia. Hey, JL, how are you?
Hey, good, Bob. Hey, on the Cruz issue here, you know, deja vu Polanco. Polanco was never the same after that injury. And the question I have is, we've got two major leaguers here that don't know when and how to slide. I don't get it. And
well,
correct me if I'm wrong. That play that he got hurt on, there was nobody out. He was on third, and the ground ball was hit to third, right?
I think there was one out. There may have been no outs. Was there one? I can't remember.
Okay.
One
What's
out.
He doing running to home?
Well,
anyway,
I mean, that's a contact play. He had a big lead. There's a contact play.
Yeah,
you know.
But it's right in front of you, though, Bob.
I know that.
The back.
He could have gotten back to third, and maybe that's something that they would redo. But as far as the slide itself, I think, and I said this the other day on Cook and Joe Show on Monday, is that that Buster Posey rule continues to lead into indecision, not just on the runners, but the catchers as well. To me, it's a terrible rule. I didn't like when they did it. They only did it because Buster Posey's a big name and they want to protect people from injury. Whereas they've created more potential injury because Cruz didn't know what to do there. I think he didn't know if he should slide, not slide. Then he decided too late to slide. The catcher gets all mad because he's possibly hurt on the play. And then that leads to a benches clearing situation. I don't think that has any indication that O'Neill Cruz knows how to slide. I think the indecision because of the play at home plate and what catchers, are you allowed to block? Where do I slide? Do I hit him? Can I hit him? Do I get called for something? I think there's so much indecision even now, several years into that rule.
I'll give you that one. And on the other end, Ke'Bryan Hayes, maybe the greatest third baseman playing right now defensively, but he's a bust at the plate.
Yeah.
And they gave him all that money.
I'm not going to say bust yet, but he needs to pick it up big time. But he is very good defensively. There's no question. But you can't pay $80 million for a defensive replacement kind of guy, you know? He has to hit. They need him.
You need a third baseman, like a first baseman, that's going to hit you 20, 25 home runs, maybe more.
Yeah.
See, that's going to do that.
JL, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. But I'm going to tell you this about that contract. That was an easy contract for the Pirates to make. I'm sorry. Sure, they did it. But 8 years, $70 million. You know, they still have all of his arbitration to go through. It's money they were going to spend one way or the other had he gone through it. Now, do they take a little bit of a risk in case he doesn't live up to this? And yeah, they may have. But it's money. That's how you play the game. If you're going to be in the major league business with no salary cap, you have to make these plays once in a while. And yes, it's a good move. At the time, people applauded it, and I did too. But it's incumbent upon him to get his bat working here, and that's an easy contract for a team to do because the team has to pay money as time goes on. And if he shows that he's capable, it's going to cost them in arbitration a relatively same amount of money they spend. 412-928-9370. We got Bill and Baldwin. Hey, Bill, how are you today?
Good morning. Happy belated birthday, Bob.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I wish I can go backwards with the numbers, but that's okay.
I was going to talk NBA playoffs.
Bring it. Let's go.
Who do you think about the Sacramento Wildcats? I mean, Kings. They're pretty. Calipari should probably coach that team, right?
Well, I was just telling Joel Nelson in there that to me, Sacramento is a team that can do some damage to Golden State. I think Sacramento.
I think the winner of that series is going to win the West.
You may be right about that. Sabonis is good inside. They got guys like De'Aaron Fox outside, but they picked up Keegan Murray. Nobody knew about him. Sharp shooting guy when he's on, and they made some shrewd moves. Kevin Huerter was a guy that, again, nobody, unless you follow Atlanta, you wouldn't know about him, but he can be a guy who can nail it from the outside. I think they have three-pointers who can keep up with Golden State, but I think the inside game is going to give the Kings an advantage there. And they have home court on this matchup. So I like that one.
Do you like I think Phoenix, I think that Durant and Booker is kind of – I think that's a doomed marriage right there.
See, I don't. I think they've been pretty good when he's been healthy. I think if I'm going to bet that one, it would be the Suns to emerge out of that series, because I think those two together with Chris Paul can still be very, very effective. Now, they have to be healthy and performing, but if they are, I think they're a good team.
Yeah, and speaking of health, I just can't see for the Lakers to get out of the West. That means James and Davis have to stay healthy for 15 or 20
games. Well, first of all, they got to deal with Memphis. They got to deal with Memphis. Yeah. That's a hard matchup right off the front here. But we'll find out. You know, the Lakers got in. Give him credit. And LeBron, I'll give him his due. 20 years in this league, man. He's putting up numbers. But I still think the Memphis Grizzlies are a better team.
So who's your pick to win the West then?
I said Sacramento on Monday. I'm going to stick to it. That's it's far out on the West, you know, on the ledge. If you're going to make money in betting, you go for a team like that. I like them. And the best matchup in the East, at least to start here, is Knicks and Cleveland. I really like that matchup, and I love Cleveland's team, and I think Donovan Mitchell will be the difference.
I think Cleveland has a chance to win that series in four or five games. I think they're actually going to roll through that one pretty easily.
I don't know about easy. The Knicks, they have some talent there, but there's something about Cleveland's team I like. Young guys, but they brought in Mitchell, which was a good move at them at the time. So we'll see how it goes. But thank you for the call. It's refreshing sometimes, Billy, to talk about that. In the meantime, let's go up to Anthony, who joins us in Oakland. Anthony, what's going on?
Thank you. Thank you very much, my friend.
Anytime.
You know, when I look at the Steelers' upcoming draft, I've hear on your station and online a lot about the Steelers moving up. They have too many holes to fill to be moving up to get a left tackle. And when I evaluate this team, and I've been watching, you know, let's just say the last 20 years, I mean, they've had Matt Starks, they had Beecham, they had Villanueva on the left side. I mean, the guy they have now.
Stapleton in the middle. They had a lot of guys who aren't exactly household names. You're right.
No, so I mean, I'm not concerned about that. They in this division, you have to shore up that secondary, because you've got the three-headed monster in Cincinnati, and you know you've seemed to have helped yourselves in stopping the run when you play Baltimore, but Cleveland's going to give you some more passing now, and they still have a running game. So defense has to be paramount over the offense as far as. I'm not going to make a stretch to go up. If I'm going to do anything, I'm going to go down so I can accumulate even more picks.
Yeah, but at 17, you should get a player who can step right in and help you in the secondary, right? I mean, if you stay put, there are going to be some guys who drop down, just given how much emphasis there is this year on the quarterback situation, unlike last year. So they're going to move up, and a lot of teams are going to take these quarterbacks, and they're going to be pushing down some people who, you know, you may have to trade up let me ask you this, Anthony. If you had a chance, not trading up from 17 to 9 has been talked about, how about if you had a chance to trade up two picks to get a dynamic left tackle, for example? Would you do it?
No, no, because like I said, the left tackle position, to me, now this is my opinion compared to others, I don't blame the left tackle they've had the last couple years.
Well, it could be better. I think he's a good guy to have, but I don't know if he's a starter every single and elite. And
well,
he's worked
his. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I said he's taken, you know, I mean, a fourth round pick to be thrown into that is hard. I mean, he's like throwing somebody right into the deep end and saying swim. And he did. I mean, at first year, he impressed me more as just someone who took his shots, got better. Second year, a little bit better, but he's not elite.
Well, neither was Villanueva, who was, wasn't he a free agent?
Yeah, he was a converted defensive lineman from Philly, and they saw enough in him, and that was a shrewd move by Kevin Colbert. They brought him here, moved him to offensive line, and became a Pro Bowler.
No, you have a rare opportunity at the Pittsburgh Steelers to have almost two first-round draft picks. Technically, you do. That last pick, the first pick in the second round is really a first-round pick because Miami lost theirs. No, I don't want any – if I do, I'm going to move down because I think they don't have a fifth round or a fourth round or something, right?
Yeah, they traded one away, so I think it's fifth. But they, you know, they have three of the top 49. They have four of the top, I forget what it is, 170. You're right. They have all those players should be expected to come in here and contribute. And it is essentially two first round picks.
Yeah, so why would I give – I mean, the rumor was give Chicago move – give them the same pick they gave you? That'd be ludicrous. No, I don't – look, these left tackles look good. I watched a lot of them. I see the film on them. I'm seeing them being broke down. They're not spectacular. They're not the best of the best. They say this is a good crop, even in lower down. So I want the Steelers to move down, get a corner and a safety. Now we're talking. So if you move down and accumulate more picks,
wait.
Pick in the second round.
You're going to put a safety ahead of offensive line?
I would.
I don't know if I'd do that.
They did well in free agency as far as the guards go. I think you could still get a tackle in the second round. You know, from the publications I have, the list they have, it looks pretty good, Bob. It looks pretty good. You don't have to go up to get one. Because listen, I'm not like these. I don't fall in that category. Look at the Jets. Look what Tennessee did. Look what Frisco did as far as getting quarterbacks. Look how much they gave up to get those quarterbacks. And they don't even know if they're going to – well, Wilson, they're not going to play in New York. In San Francisco, they're talking about he may not even play. And then Malik Willis, Tennessee picked up. He's an afterthought because they're talking about the first round pick.
You're talking about redrafting the same position. That's a waste of time. That's why the pick of Pickett, if he develops the way they want him to and the way he shows that he could – that's going to be looked at as shrewd pick, and it's going to save them years of trying to find the most important position on the football field if it works out.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, thank you, Anthony. Appreciate the call, as always. We got more on the way. Dave, Paul, Dean, hang on. We're going to get to you. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Again, a thank you to PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one, Cochran. Ride in style with number one, Cochran. We are back on a beautiful day in Pittsburgh. What a week it has been. Hope you went out and enjoyed it and had some great times. I know we did. I had a chance to play golf with George Burge, who's an up-and-coming country music star. Has a song called Mine on You, which is climbing the charts. But he was in town to do a special fundraiser, which actually helped my charity, which is Partners for Quality. Partners for Quality does work with developmentally challenged people and does a great job in making their lives better. We thank George and also Lynx Brewery because that's where it was held. If you've never tried Lynx beer, it's a good beer to try. So we raised money. My golf tournament, by the way, is coming up. It's the 32nd year. If you're interested, call Partners for Quality. You can hit them up online at pfq.org. It's June 12th at Chartiers. We have a great time. I'm telling you, for the price and what you pay, you'll be making a great donation, but you'll have one heck of a time because we load it up with a great breakfast, drinks on the golf course, lunch. Tremendous dinner, 2 hours of an open bar afterwards, all part of it. So more than anything, you'll be helping Partners for Quality, which is something that has been close to me for many years. And thank you for George Burge. He's opening for Kenny Chesney this Sunday in Fort Lauderdale, and he was here at Lynx Brewery this week. 412-928-9370. Again, thank you to PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one, Cochran, ride in style. Right now, we're riding back out of the phone lines. We got Paul and Greentree joining us. Hey, Paul.
Bob, hey, I just want to ask about Cruz. I was at the game when Rennie Stennett slid into second base back in the 70s.
He was never the same.
No. And that's what I'm concerned about. Is it the same type of break, or is there a more positive spin to it, have you heard?
Well, from what I understand, that it's something that they believe he should, you know, be back from 100%. It's going to take... obviously, time, 4 months. I wouldn't rush him, by the way. If it means coming back and having throw
it. I'd wait till next year.
Yeah, I would do that. And you know, he's too important for them. But I think they have some tremendous people over there at AHN who took care of the surgery. So I'm convinced that he'll be okay. But even so, the question is, you know, it holds this guy back a little bit. And he relies on his legs. He relies on... the feet and also for the foundation of his swing, which is why he gets so much on his swing velocity wise. So we'll see how that transpires, but it's a shame he's going to end up sacrificing a year for that, all because of a stupid play at home plate.
Yeah. Maybe the taller guys, they need to show them a different way to slide.
Or maybe they should get rid of the Buster Posey rule. I hate it. Now, what did you think about that when they put it in? I know why they did it, but I guarantee you, if it wasn't Buster Posey who got injured with some second, backup catcher, they wouldn't have installed that rule. They did it because he was out and he was their star player at the time with San Francisco.
Right. What I don't understand is, if I'm not mistaken, the catcher was in the baseline.
Once you get the ball,
I thought they were supposed to move aside.
Once you get the ball, I think you can do that. It's when the ball arrives.
No, he was in the baseline, I think, before he caught the ball. I might be wrong, but
okay, I'd have to go back
I'm
and look.
See, that's but
Paul. This is my point with this stupid rule that you're looking at, and he's trying to make a play where he's got to worry about where his foot is, and the runner has to worry about not making contact with him, essentially, because you don't want to be that guy.
Correct.
So it leads to all this stuff. Okay, how many times do you actually have a collision at home plate? Yeah, you do throughout the course of a season, but it's part of the game. You were taught back when I was playing, back in high school, it was a long time ago, to knock the ball away and jar it loose. You know, I know the safety and the concussion issue, all this stuff. But man, oh man, it's making that play hard to figure out, and it makes an undue amount of stress for both the catcher and the base runner, in my opinion.
Good point.
All right, Matt, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. Most of this hour or two, we've been talking about the Penguins and what they need to do. And I've asked the question, is this a very, very difficult assignment if you're a GM, especially a young GM who comes in and maybe, or you're an assistant GM looking for your first opportunity to lead a team? How difficult is it? On the surface, it's kind of cool. You're saying, I'm going to have legendary people that I got to deal with, like Sidney Crosby, like Evgeny Malkin, like Chris Letang, Hall of Famers, all. But then you inherit a roster that's flawed, that's overly priced, and a system that is kind of bereft of a lot of talent. Now, the talent they do have, I believe, should be in play next year. You got to bring young people in, but the only way to do that is a clear salary. And that means, number one, you have to find buyout language for guys. I'm sorry, but you just do. There are too many people on this roster who are holding it back. You know what I'm talking about? Jason Zucker, what do? He's unrestricted. Do you think he wants to come back? He said so, and I don't blame him. He was maybe their unsung player this year. But he's going to require a salary that's going to take him up over what he's making right now in the $5.5 million range. Do you want Brian Dumoulin back? Maybe not. Maybe they have to just say it's time to part ways. He's been a very good Penguin, and although his play in the last couple of weeks got, I thought, better, can they afford him too? And Tristan Jarry, who's at the end of a contract, what do you do? Mike Sullivan had nice praise for him today. Is he just saying that because he's his coach? Does he believe? I think he does believe it, but he's been so injured and so unreliable. How do you bet on that again in the future? And this does not even take into account forwards like Jeff Carter, 1 year left at $3.5 million. That was too much of a contract. And that's Hextall, more than anything, gave out bad contracts and didn't bring in enough good people at trade deadline. Mikael Granlund, 2 years, still $10 million left. You can't bring that back, can you? How about Jeff Petrie? He makes more than anyone not named Crosby on that team. It's $6.5 million, or $6.25 million. Whatever it is, it's over $6.2 million. Jeff Petrie's been a really good player over the years, but not so much here, not at that price. You have to clear some space, don't you? And you have to rely on younger people, and I don't have a problem with that. If they're going to take the next level up, but therein lies the problem if you're this new incoming GM. So you know that the mandate is win now. We have Crosby, Malkin, and Letang. We still feel the window's there. Okay, if you feel that way, and they're not the game-changing players they once were, but they're still elite enough where you can have those guys and then surround. The question is, how do you surround them with the right people now? How do you create the space? How do you bring in people in free agency where you don't have a lot of money if you don't create the space? To me, one of the answers is playing younger people. You have to. They need a net front presence on the power play. Mike Sullivan kind of defended the power play. When it's on, it's good, but it's been too erratic, too inconsistent, which is probably the microcosm of their system, of their season. Too erratic, too inconsistent. They have defensemen who, in Mike Sullivan's way of playing, need to pinch. But if you're not good at it and you're not good offensively enough to make that happen, why are you pinching? Because normally you'll result in odd man breaks, which is something that they gave up too many. So there are a lot of problems here. Which means to me they're going to have to overpay for that position and get someone who has a really good vision about how to get this done. 412-928-9370. We're due for a break. We'll take it. Come back with more as we go until 1 o'clock. We got the North Shore Tavern leadoff show. It's game 3 of a series, Pirates and Cardinals. You're going to hear it today right here on 93.7 The Fan on KDK 101 FM. You'll get, if you want, spring football. I personally do not like spring football, Nick. I don't. Penn State and Pitt both have their spring games today. To me, it's an opportunity. If you want to tailgate on a nice day, fine. Go see some guys. That's fine. It's very important to coaches and their staff, I get. But as far as watching it and developing any conclusions, nothing for me. Sorry.
Well, baseball is my favorite sport, and the Pirates are doing well right now, so I choose baseball today.
Well, yeah, I would too. I would choose baseball even if there was nothing else on. I'd watch them. I just would not watch spring football. Just not my cup of tea. 412-928-9370, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Once again, thank you to PNC Bank. Check out their virtual wallet, PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one, Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Let's do some rapid fire here. Only have a few minutes. Frank and Chippewa, you're first. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, Bob, how you doing? Yeah, I wanted to talk about, you know, the firing, you know, of the GM and that. I couldn't believe some of the moves he made and what took so long to fire him. You know, Brandon Tanev. Why would he get rid of him? He was great on this team, you know, great checker and all that. Some of the moves with Jeff Carter. I mean, why would you sign him to 2 years?
Well, there you go. That's why he got rid of Brandon Tanev, because he wanted to protect Carter. You could have put Carter out there. They would not have taken him.
Well, I heard he was buddies with him. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You can't make deals like that, period. There are a lot of bad deals he made. Kasperi Kapanen, 2 years, $6 million, whatever. End up giving rid of that. You know.
What was Burke doing with all this?
I have no idea. And quite frankly, again, I would not judge Fenway Sports Group on what's happened. This wasn't their hire. They inherited this. They got rid of this now, this group. And so now it's up to them, and we'll see what they do. I think they, you know, they realized it was a problem, but they're going to wait until the end of the year. But I would have liked to have known if they had a say on the Granlund deal. You know, I would have, like, if I'm an owner, or at least a Nebby owner, I would have said, wait a minute, you're telling me you're going to bring up this guy who's been around the league and he's not exactly an elite player at $5 million more for the next 2 years? That doesn't make sense to me. I may say no on that one.
They should have said no.
I would have said no.
Yeah.
Just because I didn't think that meant anything different to them. But
right.
All right, Frank, thanks. I appreciate it. I'm gonna go right down the list here, try to get everybody in, because I do appreciate when you call, and I try to give you your opportunity to say whatever's on your mind. Al in Bellevue is up right now. Hey, Al.
Yeah, Bob. As far as Brian Hayes goes, don't give up. This guy is going to get his hits. He's the backbone of the Pirates right now. You know, he's going to get his hits.
I wouldn't describe him as that. I think he's a defensive wizard, and I think that's all fine. And the hitting woes have not affected his defense. That's also all fine. But you have to admit, the offense has got to get a lot better.
It will. It'll get better.
I hope so.
And as far it will. You watch. As far as Cruz goes, the poor guy, I mean, that's a baseball move. It's been happening in the instructional league when my son played. You know, it's a bang bang play. You don't know what to think. He's coming into home. You know, catcher's there, obviously.
He should have just slid instead of trying to stand. He was his own worst enemy there. He had somebody on the left shoulder was saying slide, the guy on the right shoulder saying no slide. You got a tug of war going on, at least to confusion. Thanks, man. I gotta move along. I appreciate your call. 412-928-9370. Patrick joins us right now in Irwin. Hey, Pat.
Hey, man, pumping ain't easy, but it's necessary.
It's necessary, brother. I appreciate that.
Hey, real quick, the Maulers start tomorrow. There's a lack of interest, I hear, from, like, Cookie and Starkey. I don't get it. I mean, I like the fact that these guys are, like, not multimillion-dollar paid athletes. You know, you have players like Lamar Jackson who turns down generational wealth. I mean, they have black and gold unis. They're playing in Canton. It's free for people who stream, who are cord cutters. You can watch it on Peacock and FS1. Why, you know, to me, I'm more interested in that right now than any of the stuff going on. I was wondering what your thoughts are.
Well, I think, Patrick, and thank you very much for the call, they would have more interest if they were located in Pittsburgh, number one. But at least they're up from Birmingham, so it's a more drivable situation going to Canton. They did change their uniforms. Now they need to change the record. 1-9 is not good enough to get any sort of interest. But yeah, I mean, there are stories there. I don't know if it's ever going to become a popular thing, but it would help if they moved to the city in which they call home, at least from their names. You know, playing in Birmingham and Canton does not help the situation. But I do like the stories. There are a lot of good stories there. Let's go to Matt in Stowe Rocks. Matt, how are you?
Hey, Bob. Just want to say I love the show and happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Very much appreciate
it. You know, I was just wondering what your thoughts were with knowing what the Pirates have historically done, you know, around the trade deadline, and they have these veterans with these one-year deals. You know, do you think they're rooting to be around 500 so that fans will basically applaud when they sell off these players at the deadline? Or what do you think management, you know, is currently focused on? Because we know it's probably not this year with O'Neill hurt and then the other pitcher going on long-term IL. I wondered your thoughts.
Well, I mean, those sort of injuries are hard to sustain for even a good team, let alone a team that's where they are. But I think, you know, 500 does nothing. I want to see a team that contends. And to me, that's how many years are we into this thing now? Another 5 years will be next year. At some point, the results matter. You got to start throwing results. And I think Cherington's done a good job of bringing in talent. Now, that talent has to show that he was right in his assessment of that. And the only way that happens is if they play and play more. Now, what that means to people like G-Man Choi, like Carlos Santana, good guys to have around, sure. They're hoping, I'm sure, that those guys have good enough seasons where they can, you know, flip them and bring somebody else in, knowing that they have younger people there who are ready to take over. That's going to be the key to me, Matt. You got to have people who are going to take over. And if they don't have people to take over, it doesn't matter what they do. But thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it, and I'm completely out of time. So I appreciate all you people who called in. Makes a lot, and I'm flattered that you take the time to air your opinion here on the program. Once again, a thanks to PNC Bank. Make today the day. And number one, Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. And all of our sponsors who make the show possible. It's a beautiful day. Get out and enjoy it.